Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Oh, I'm so... I was on vacation.
Did you have a rough night?
Evidently.
My bedroom ceiling and going down the wall.
Sometimes you just need a good night's sleep to figure things out.
I'm trying to get rough spots off my cement patio.
It'll be all right when the morning comes.
Well, Saturday morning is here. And that means Lou Manfredini is here to make it all better.
You need like a rubber foot that's got a cup that you can stick inside.
Well, I guess if I do that, I'll have to foot the bill. Get it?
Hey, I'll do the comedy around here, Roger. You just make the pancakes, okay?
Here's your host taking your calls live right here, right now. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Went downtown to see my
got a new guy helping out in New York, and he's the first time I think he's working on the show. And he's like, yeah, Lou Manfredini, pretty impressive. Welcome, House Smarts Radio. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. I'm taking care of a baby, so I'm a little...
Very sleep-deprived.
I'm very sleep... Not really sleep-deprived. Good morning, 877-213-4-LOU. We're doing a whole lawn and garden show today, which I think you'll find pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, today's show featuring lawn care is sponsored by Harry's Lumber, with Trex decking in stock and ready to ship at harryslumber.com, 877-213-4-LOU. Yes, we picked up a, was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago.
Look at you. You don't even know. What
I know.
Day is it?
I know. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Joe. We have a new puppy.
Good morning. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah, that is. I thought you meant a real baby.
Well, we need to talk about a couple things first, because first of all, you listen to the show with any regularity, you know we have fine sponsors here, the PermaSeal people, the basement waterproofing professionals, and they got a new dog, the owner of the company. And what did they name the new dog? What was the name I was going to tell you when I got a dog? What was I going to name it? Do you remember, Don? Don, let's see. Don, I bet Don will remember. Don, you remember? You know what would be a great name for a dog?
Remember? I'm not off the top of my head.
No. Joe, anybody?
No, and thank you for not putting me in the spot like Don.
Lindsay, what was the name of the dog I was going to tell you?
Buddy.
Buddy. I was going to name the dog Buddy.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. I remember.
Roy named his dog Buddy.
No.
And I saw him and he goes, well, you named it because I heard you talking about it. I thought that'd be a great name for a dog.
You're kidding.
What a name thief.
I know. I know.
And but at least he copped to it.
But so here's the thing. I love the name Buddy, but my wife didn't love the name Buddy. She's like, I think a dog's name should end in an O. Okay, I go, really?
People have their preferred vowel sounds.
Isn't that something? So, you know, our dog that passed away last year, Enzo, obviously we had Enzo for a long time, and he was Italian, you know, and he came that way. We didn't rename him when he came. You know, he was a puppy, and they're like, well, we called him Enzo, but you can call him whatever you want. We're like, Enzo? That's great.
Yeah.
Like Enzo Ferrari, right? I'm all in.
Wasn't John Williams' dog named Bingo?
Yeah. Isn't it still? Oh, no, Daisy. It was Bingo. Right, it was Bingo, and then now he has Daisy, right? That doesn't end in an O, so I don't know where that's going, Joe.
But Bingo ends in O. That's where it went.
There was a farmer. You used to have a
Barney.
That doesn't end in an O. This is all evolved. The ending in an O has evolved. So anyway, I go to the place where I looked once before for pets, and I find this little dog who evidently has been there for like four months, but he's been there for like 6 weeks longer than the rest of the dogs.
Poor buddy.
He's got this beautiful black and white coat, and even though he's a little golden doodle, he's black and white. He's got this black face, and his back is black, but his stomach is all white. Pretty
nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Sounds like...
And so I did what I've done to my wife for 30-plus years. I go, I think I'm coming home with a dog. And she's, like, texting me feverishly. We're not, you know, whatever. Because I just sprung it on her. I'm like, I'm just going to go look. It's like I do this when I go buy a car.
Never works that way.
I'm just going to go look. And so here I come home, and she's like, what are we going to name it? You know, and all of a sudden she comes up with the name, exclamation point, on the text line, Bruno.
Nice. Bruno.
Bruno.
Solid.
Right now, Bruno's crushing it. He sleeps through the night.
in the crate. And, you know, I got up at like 2 a.m. with him to take him outside. And he did his business, gave me a little lick, back inside.
Nice. It's a hilarious name for like a tiny dog, too.
Right? Bruno. Yeah. I don't know how tiny he's going to be, but we'll see.
With the colors.
He's got some big paws.
With the colors, I thought you were going to say Oreo.
Well, we talked about that, but
that's kind of a common name.
My daughter Mallory said, so obvious.
Right, you can't go that hard.
So we're not going that route, right? So anyway, if you go to my Facebook page or my Instagram page at Lou Manfredini, I posted not only a picture of Bruno on the day that I brought him home, but a picture of Flo, our current dog's reaction, which is not that good.
Uh-oh.
She is hoping that this is a temporary situation, and I can tell by her body language and her face, and you'll see her reaction on Facebook or Instagram. It's pretty hilarious.
Nice.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get to the phone lines right now and see what we can do to help some people out this morning. This is Mark calling in from West Chicago. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Great to talk to you this morning.
How may I help you, sir?
We have a crazy bird problem that's making my wife nuts. It is, we live in West Chicago. We've got a bird's nest that's been up in the eave probably for 4 or 5 years. They come and go. It's wonderful. We have some reflective glass also on the back of the house. And the last 2 weeks, this bird has been dive bombing into the glass as soon as the sun comes up, all the way until when it goes down.
Yeah.
He is leaving an absolute mess on the railing, on the deck boards, doing his business. I clean it up. He comes back.
Is this a second floor window, first floor?
It's a first floor, but we've got kind of a raised ranch in the back, so the deck's probably about.
So you can get to this, right? You can
100%,
get. Yes. Okay.
100%.
We need to change the bird's behavior. The problem is all of these, you know, birds and rodents, they're all creatures of habit, and they keep coming back, keep coming back. So what I would do, you know, you have two choices here. You could take a bunch of painter's tape and crisscross in front of the window for the next 2 weeks, right? And then just take the painter's tape off, and that'll probably solve the problem. Or you could do my little fishing line trick where if you take a few nails and you do a little perimeter with the nails around the window, so they're out about an inch or so from the, what is it, siding or brick? What do you have there?
It's concrete siding, hardy board.
Mm. All right, I don't want you putting.
But I do have some trim. I do have some cedar.
Okay. Or you know what you could do too is 3M makes the exterior clips for like your Christmas lights.
Yes.
You know, the little plastic, and it's got the little adhesive that you can remove. That way you don't damage the siding or the glass. Excuse me, the siding or the paint. Put that around the perimeter of the window. Take some fishing line and do a little webbing back and forth. You actually, when you're done, probably will barely see the fishing line, but the bird will see it and not want to get tangled up in it. But you need to leave it up for a couple of weeks. Because they need to learn that it's there and then go somewhere else. And then once you're certain that they're not back, you can take it all down.
That works for me, Lou. This has been fantastic. It's made our lives miserable, and we don't want to hurt the birds at all.
No, of course.
We love having them there.
Of course.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. All right, that's how it works. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to your host, your handyman hero, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16.
Welcome back,
tons.
Lou Manfredini. House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4-LOU.
St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can go. I owe my soul.
Lindsay and I are texting, you know, between the breaks and whatnot, and you're asking me about the Dirt Devil cordless
vacuum cleaner. Somebody's very perceptive. I did that on a TV spot when we were talking about ants. That was on that TV spot. That is a Dirt Devil makes this really nice cordless vacuum cleaner that has a little brush on the agitator on the front. And I'm telling you what, it is your go-to little vacuum cleaner to leave on your first floor in a little closet for the quick pickups, you know? I mean, Lindsay, I'm sure at your house there's always a Cheerio on the ground or something that,
oh.
Right?
No, there's never.
And fried chicken no McNugget
joke, there are
pieces,
no Cheerios on
whatever.
The ground with Hamilton.
And this little Dirt Devil, it's got a cup. You don't have to, there's no bag. I think it's like $100, $80, mm-hmm. something like that. And it's, we love it. And it really, really is terrific. So if you're looking for a little quick cleanup, I have nothing to do with Dirt Devil whatsoever. And it works out really well. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. You know what? Our first caller this morning, we were talking about that gentleman with the bird problem. Well, that was sponsored by bathfitter.com/LOU. And I should have told you that, but you know, I was on vacation for a few days. I was.
You've got a lot of excuses this morning.
I'm just trying to get back into it, people. Just give me. We took 10 days off. We went to Arizona, which it's just in case you don't know, very dry there.
Oh,
it's hard on your skin. My hair was lifeless. I mean, it really was difficult. But we had a very nice time, and really had a nice time. 877-213-4LOU. This is Margaret, who's on the line. Margaret, good morning. Oh, I hear Margaret's got a very deep voice. Margaret?
Yeah?
Hi, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. I'm so excited to finally get in and talk to you.
How may I help you this morning?
Yes, I have a granite countertop in my kitchen.
Okay.
And I would like to paint the bottom half of my cabinet. Is that possible?
You want to paint the bottom. You want to paint the cabinets.
No, I want to replace the cabinets.
Oh, and keep the top that you have.
Yes.
Is it possible? Yes. Is it a little tricky? Yeah, but that top is literally glued in place, okay? Onto your cabinets. And honestly, removing the top isn't the problem because the granite tends to stay together. It's the cabinets that fall apart because the epoxy that they use is so, you know, so forceful. It has such a grip. So
yes.
In order for this to work in what you want to do, you have to buy the exact same cabinet sizes, which they are generally still made in the same size, a 30-inch cabinet, a 24-inch cabinet, an 18, whatever it is. You don't have to necessarily stay with the same. Let's say you have an 18-inch cabinet that was a drawer and a bottom, you know, base cabinet, and you wanted to turn that into a drawer base. As long as the footprint of the cabinet stays the same, that granite can be taken out, the new cabinet's put in, and the granite can go in. Now, if I'm your contractor, you know, if I'm the person coming to do this work, I'm going to say, lady, no guarantees, because it could break.
Okay.
So that, and that could be, you know, you can be as careful as you want, but if there's some fissure or something in the granite that goes, nobody's going to take responsibility for that granite, taking it out or putting it back in. So in your mind, you know, you're saying, hey, I just want to change the cabinets. I want to keep the granite. I'm going to save $6,000, right?
Yeah.
You need $6,000 as a backup just in case.
Okay.
I mean, you have a way better chance than 50-50 on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's a risk that it breaks or chips or something like that.
Okay, great. I can't wait to tell my husband to see if he'll want to do it.
Well, Lou says, sure. You know how much trouble I get about that? Well, Lou says, so you can say,
I have said that. And he said, well, then why don't you call Lou?
Yeah, right. So tell Lou to get his butt over here and take my countertop off. Right. Lindsay, make sure when this lady calls back, you don't take her call ever again, okay? Good luck to you. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4567. That's Cecilia is in New Jersey. You're break. How many times have you heard this, Cecilia? You're breaking my heart.
Yeah. Hi, Lou. My question is, I took the insulation out of my attic about a year ago, and I have to replace it. So what kind do I get? Excuse me. Blown in, or do I get the roll type?
Can I ask you why you took out the insulation? Was there a problem?
Well, it was falling down, and it was really there for many years.
Okay. And then tell me a little bit, Cecilia, about the home that you live in. Is it a frame home? Is it a brick on the outside? What is it?
Level. It has three levels, and it was built in 1959.
Okay. And the attic space is an unfinished space, correct?
Yes, correct.
You're probably your most kind of your most value proposition that'll give you the most coverage would be blown in cellulose insulation.
Cellulose.
And so this is a loose fill insulation. You're going to want something like you're going to want to achieve an R value of at least R50, 50, okay? Which is probably like 18 inches or so of insulation. The other thing that you're going to want to talk to the contractor about is something called venting baffles. So if you have an overhang on the house around the perimeter of it, there's vents that allow air to come in. We want to make sure that that airflow is maintained. And they're these little kind of sleeves. They look like, you know, if you took a serving plate, an oval serving plate, you know, that's got a little bit of a dish to it, and you cut the ends off of it, each one of those goes in every space where the rafters are, and then they fill the insulation up next to it, but the airflow still comes in. And that would probably be your best bet when it comes to, you know, most cost efficient. I mean, the most efficient would be like a spray foam insulation, but it'll be double the cost. And I think that the single best thing that anybody can do to improve the energy efficiency of their home is adding insulation into the attic. And for my money, blown-in insulation, at least R50. If they say, well, lady, I can only give you R60, that's fine. More is better. But we have to maintain the ventilation up in that space, because that's the key thing. All right. Thank you so much for your phone call. I really appreciate it. Hey, coming up, we're going to learn a little bit about Toro and a brand new line of cordless tools that when it comes to working on your yard, you're absolutely going to love. We'll do that right after this break.
Hey, if you want the greenest yard on the block, you got to have the right tools. Lou's joined by our friends at Toro to tell us about their tools and what they can do for your yard. It's all things lawn and garden this morning. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. All right, this time of year, you're probably thinking about your lawn, you're thinking about your garden, and how you're going to get all this work done. Well, in order to get the work done, you need the right tools. Joining me on the phone line right now is Aaron Brosnan, who is the Senior Marketing Manager with Toro. Aaron, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Lou.
Now, I am old enough to remember when Arnold Palmer used to drive around in a Toro, I don't know what the thing was called. It was like a tractor. It was like a little golf cart, but it had the Toro name on it. And I mean, it was synonymous, right, when he was connected to Toro. But you guys at Toro, I mean, I think a lot of people think about Toro. Oh, yeah, they make lawnmowers and they make snow throwers, and all of that is true. But it's incredible how much different stuff Toro is involved in.
Well, what's funny, Lou, is Toro actually dates back to 1914 was our start. We came onto the market in 1914, actually supporting the Bull Tractor Company by building engines for them. So we have a long history that predates even our turf days back to the early 1900s there. So
wow.
been around for a super long time. Really have grown our presence into quite a few businesses over the years, coming in with the first rotary motors in the 40s, and then getting involved in the snowblower business in the 50s, all the way up to today, where we actually have over 10,000 employees serving customers in, gosh, I think it's more than 120 countries at this point.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, certainly I know that there's a, you know, a residential line of products and a commercial line of products. You really are quite deep in the commercial line, whether it's, you know, one of my favorite things you make is the Toro Dingo, which when I was a builder, we used to rent and use that. For those that don't know, it's basically like a tractor with a scoop and actually a bunch of different implements that you can put on the end of it, and you stand behind it to operate it, and it is quite possibly one of the most versatile pieces of equipment for smaller projects or where you need to get into tight spaces that you could possibly use.
You know what's been a lot of fun, Lou, just to build on that point a bit? At Toro, since we are involved in so many different aspects of turf care, from construction through taking care of some of the most beautiful golfing greens, as you said, our previous relationship with Arnold Palmer there, all the way over to the residential side, is that we're really on the residential side, which I know we're going to get into in a minutes here, but we're really able to leverage some of the expertise of taking care of some of the most beautiful properties in the world, and take that expertise and that know-how, yeah, and really distill that into helping customers have the best backyard that they can have.
Well, I mean, it just makes perfect sense, right? Because if you're making stuff for the professionals, you know, the demands of the pro, you know, tend to be a little bit more demanding than residential. But you take that technology and what you learned and said, hey, we could do this, and, you know, the guy could cut his lawn for the, you know, the rest of his life using this machine. And you don't have to sell me on the quality of the Toro name. I mean, whether it's, your traditional gas mower or, you know, your snow throwers, quite honestly, are probably one of the best on the market, in my opinion, from a standpoint of design and reliability. But one of the things that I know that Toro does, and what I'd like you to talk about, is the evolution. You guys were one of the first companies, you know, in the lawn and garden area to have a battery-operated lawnmower. It is way different, that first one that I remember, than this full line of these interchangeable battery-operated tools now. And one of the things that is exciting for me to see what Toro has done is, it used to be that you know, when you got into these battery-operated tools, there was a little bit of a compromise in performance. And technology has finally caught up, where you're making really good tools that can get the job done, but without any gas, without any oil, without any emissions, which for many people is something they're looking for.
That's a great point, Lou. I think it's been really fun watching Toro evolve in the sense of the different products that we use to serve the customer. But at our core, it's always going back to that. It's really going back to understanding the customer's needs and really trying to serve that individual customer in his or her specific way of what they want. So 50, 60 years ago, it was all about, hey, listen, I don't care how long it takes me to go outside and cut the grass. I want the most beautiful lawn in the end, and whatever I need to pay, whatever I need to do, I will do it. Mm-hmm. Well, customers today, we know, I mean, everybody's being pulled in 50 million different ways, right? So the desire to have a beautiful lawn, that hasn't really gone away at all. You don't want to be that person on the block, right? But you really are time constrained now more than I think we've ever been in the past. So how do we get that time savings in at the same time as really creating an absolutely beautiful lawn for the customer? For us, it really comes down to a pick your power source type of message when you're coming with gas or battery. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the battery adoption, even though the technology has been out for decades now, some of the hesitation was customers not really wanting that trade-off. So, man, it looks like it's super easy to get out there just to plug a battery in. I don't need to know anything about what type of gas I should get, how to change my oil. I could just go click a battery in and go. Well, that was great. But back in the day, the technology wasn't really there to be able to provide that same aftercut appearance, to provide that same capability, be it bagging or mulching, to really meet the bulk of customer expectations. It's been fun. You've seen just the traditional product adoption curve where you had your early adopters coming in years and years ago, really not caring what it costs, not really caring how it worked, but hey, it's a battery mower, so it's kind of cool. We should get it. Well, now the technology across many different brands has come so far that you can really get, in a lot of different ways, you can get an almost gas-like performance with a battery mower. With Toro battery mowers and even battery products overall, one of the things we did that was a little bit different was we took the exact same unit as our gas, right? So it was funny, back years and years ago when we were really starting to get into the battery game and say, okay, you know, we're really strong gas. How do we go and convert battery? Well, we worked with our engineering team who said, well, you don't want to change the deck. Well, you don't want to change the cutting system. You don't want to change. You don't want to change. You don't want to change. Well, we said, shoot, why don't we just take the gas engine off, put a battery power head on? They said, bingo. So it's really about allowing the power of gas, but without having to compromise any of the performance that you sometimes have to.
Well, and what you're pointing out is that, you know, a lot of manufacturers, there's a lot of different manufacturers out there that make stuff that is rinky-dink. That's a technical term in the industry, rinky-dink. And so, you know, yeah, sure, it's a battery, and oh, yeah, this is great, and, you know, it runs for 30 minutes or whatever it is. But it's just, you don't get the sense that it's a well-made machine. Now, with the technology, as you mentioned, it's evolved. But one of the other things that happened early on was, well, you need to buy this, and you need to buy this, and you need to buy this. And with the technology of the batteries getting smarter, your whole platform with, and I'm right about this, right? It's a 60-volt platform in your tools. That battery is interchangeable on all the different implements that you may need.
That's a great point, Lou. So I think what's kind of fun for customers who are just coming into the market now, who are shopping and trying to compare different options that they have, is they're looking beyond just what that first purchase is, right? So I come in, I'm not happy with my current lawnmower performance, my lawnmower broke, whatever the reason that I'm in the market is, given that this one battery works with all these other different tools, it really allows you to not only look at that first purchase, but to say, really, who do I want to get married to in the end, right? What brand do I want to, as I look to grow out my garage with, be it hedge trimmers, string trimmers, leaf blowers, I can go on and on, right?
Right.
But the what you end up really wanting to understand is who should I partner with for the long term here? Since this one battery, I can click it out of the mower when I'm done, I can throw it in my trimmer, I can throw it in my blower. And what's also great is customers then save on their next purchase when they don't have to buy an additional battery and charger with it. So it really is a huge win for the customer because they're getting to save money at the same time as expand the tools that they have to take care of their yard.
Right. So you offer, so, you know, let's say, I mean, you've got a lot of, you know, whether it's first time homeowners or people just getting started. I guess, you know, when you guys take a look and, you know, and here's Toro with all the different, you know, the breadth of stuff that's available, whether it's riding mowers or zero turn or you know, gas powered walk behinds or whatever it might be, and then you've got this whole battery line. Who is that customer? Like when you guys sit around in a table and you say, you know, who's going to go after this battery? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, right? It's like they want a good quality brand, but they want something that's going to give them the performance. But then that ease of use with the battery, for a lot of people, I mean, we're just coming off of Earth Day, right? And so that's certainly something that you know, a lot of people are focused on. Like, wow, I could invest in this. These are not, you know, these tools are not cheap. They're well-made tools,
And it's an investment, but it's an investment that's going to last them for a while.
That's another great call, Lou. I think, you know, it's an upfront investment from a monetary perspective. And yes, you're going to get the superior performance year after year. But when you're looking from a battery side, you're also not going to be spending the same amount of money on gas, on oil, on things like that, right? And if you can't find the gas in your garage, all of a sudden you're now running out, and it defeats the whole point of really being able to get a job done quick, get it done well, and then save time. One of the things that I've actually run into personally myself a bit is that I was a bit surprised about when I first went over to battery mowers was just the noise reduction overall.
Right.
So, gosh, I wish I wasn't working as late as I do certain times, but I come home and I'm not always mowing between those hours when, you know, I got the neighbors who are trying to put their kids to bed or doing other things, and just the noise level reduction. So you think about sort of the lack of needing to use fossil fuels and oil and change and dispose of the oil and everything. But then you also have just the noise reduction and the ability that I can get out and mow when I want to mow, when I need to mow, because I'm not going to be bothering anybody else when I'm doing it. It's just another benefit of the battery side.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And I mean, the fact that you've got that Toro name behind you, just it really is spectacular. Now, tell me specifically, you know, what these tools are called and where people go to learn more about them.
So the 60-volt product line is called the FlexForce Power System. So it's toro.com/FlexForce, all one word there. And what's great is customers can learn not only about the mower and, frankly, not only about the spring products, but it's really an all-season type of product line. We have snow blowers, we have these handheld, and they're so much fun, these little things called power shovels. Mm-hmm. When it's too small for a big snow blower, but you need to go out and just get something done quick. So just the number of different tools and the way we can use them. I mean, we're over 35 tools at this point in time, and wow, and we have more on the way. So really a full product line to be able to offer for that customer who invests in our battery products.
Toro.com/FlexForce, and you'll find the full line of Toro products with this battery line. And obviously, if you go to Toro.com, you'll also find, I'm going to tell people to go to Toro.com and put in the search the Dingo and just look at all the fun things a Dingo can do. That's just me. It's one of my favorite tools.
It's fun, and it's a fun name, too.
It is a fun name. I don't know who named it. That's a good one. Aaron Brosnan is the Senior Marketing Manager over at Toro. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me, Lou. Have a great day.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're tuned in to Lou, your favorite handyman, right here on House Smarts Radio.
Lou. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. How can I help you this morning? By the way, our show today featuring lawn care is sponsored by the Toro Company. Check out their full line of interchangeable battery-powered tools, including the number one Moro, and the Moro of that story, at Toro.com. Let's go back to the phone lines here and talk with Pat, who's on Staten Island. Hi, Pat. Morning, Pat. Hello, Pat. Oh, hold on, Pat. Hello, Pat. No? No, we're done with Pat. I'm sorry, Pat. Thank you so much for listening. Man, we run out of time so quickly. Have a great day there in New York. That's the first hour of House Smarts Radio, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back coming up right after the break. 877-213-4LOU is the number, 877-213-4568.
Hey, we all have that love-hate relationship with our homes, right?
There's so much electricity in this house. I can't even comb my hair. It stands out like I just stuck my finger in an electric socket.
But you've got to be nice to your house.
In frustration, I banged that box with my fist and the heat started again. And I thought, oh, I fixed it.
Then it will be nice to you.
But now I'm hopping up on my bed and hitting it with a baseball bat.
So if you're looking for other ideas, now's the time to call Lou. He's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, how you doing, baby? You look mighty fine. I figured I might come your way.
Welcome back.
Roll up on you with that golden ticket.
877-2134 Lou is our phone number. This hour of House Smarts Radio is not only brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, by our friends over at Dykstra Home Services. My thanks to Mike Steven, who filled in last week, which was he did yeoman's work because he did his show beforehand, and then also sat in and did 4 hours of House Smarts Radio. So, Michael, thank you so much for doing that. And I know that he had some help in there answering questions. Mike Holmes, who's with Creative Carpentry, and Jim Sullivan with Taint Enterprises. My thanks to both of them as well for filling in. That was very nice of them. We did sneak away for about 10 days or so. My wife's cousin and his wife have a home in Arizona, and they were kind enough to let us use it for a week. And we just had a really, really nice time.
I heard the weather was horrible, though.
It was terrible. Like, when we got there, it was the 13th day that it had been in the 90s. But you know it's a dry heat, Lindsay. You know all about
totally.
That. You went
it's
to that, school in Arizona. I mentioned it was my hair was limp and lifeless. It was. It's a good thing Joe Brand wasn't there. You know, when he had that really long hair and the beard, he would have just looked like a wet rat coming out of the water.
Get me out of the South.
Maybe Don too. I don't know. Don, you strike me. You got the curly hair. Is it the curly hair?
A little bit. Yeah. And I mean, both are like at that heat. I can't stand it. But I would prefer Arizona to somewhere like Florida with that humidity.
That is unmanageable for
right.
your hair. It's
yes.
really something.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really something. So I did fine in the swimming pool. A couple times.
Nice.
It was very nice. So it's, it was the first time I had flown in 15 months. Anybody? Well, Lindsay, I know you've taken a couple of flights. Mm-hmm. And, surprisingly, I mean, everybody in the airports are wearing masks. That's federally mandated, of course. And then on the plane. But the planes were full. I mean, they were full. And
wow.
so
yeah. really?
It was I have to be I was probably a little more nervous about it than my wife was. But we both wore masks the whole time, which is, it's whatever, 3.5 hours to Arizona. And, there's a lot of people that wear masks all the time for work and, 8 hours a day. It's interesting to see how people were evolving to try and make this all work as vaccinations, for those that are going to get vaccinated, highly recommend it. They're we're figuring it out. We're getting back to it. So it was
Man.
Nice to get away.
No extra leg room on the plane, though? Like, nothing?
No.
Everything
no.
full?
Everything was full.
I was really hoping for something.
It was like, and ironically, you just watch everybody board, and everybody's wearing the mask, and the flight attendants would tell people, a lot of times people come in, and they're wearing the mask as a chin strap as they're getting on it. Could you please pull that up? And I'm sure they love being the mask police.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, is like my pet peeve when, it's just, did anyone see the GIF or like the little cartoon image about the people that wear the masks underneath their nose?
No. Well, like, there's a lot of people, yeah.
It makes me laugh so hard, but it is so, now that's all I can think about when I, when I see them around their nose, under the noses.
But anyway, it's nice to see people getting back to it. Let's pray that this finally, gets us where we want to be.
Right.
Joe Brand, I got a sports story for you that I just saw this morning on Twitter that I thought was awesome. Now, for those that remember, what year was it with the Cubs?
2003.
Okay. So Moises Alou is going out to catch a foul ball. The Cubs are playing the Marlins. They're five outs away from going to the World Series, and the famed poor guy in the stands. I'm not even going to say his name because he's been, you know, vilified. Like anybody, reaches for a ball, catches it, and it becomes this crazy lore of a story, right? And the Moises Alou is out of his mind, right? Because he would have caught that ball. Chances are he probably wouldn't have, but anyway. So I see this highlight from this kid. Was it an Arizona Diamondbacks game?
Yeah, it was. It was. As everything comes full circle now with Arizona.
Right field player, maybe? Am I right about that, maybe?
Yep, Cole Calhoun.
He's running to catch a foul ball into foul ball territory, and he would have caught that ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little kid right in the corner, kind of at the precipice of where the stands go, and then the wall kind of continues down the line, right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
And the kid reaches up with his mitt. He's a cute little kid with glasses, and this right fielder, he's a big, burly guy. He reaches out with his hand, and the mitts are both there, and the kid catches the ball. I mean, the mitts are together. They're, like, touching each other, and the kid catches the ball. The expression on his face, it like, he lights up, and he's like, oh, my God. I mean, what you can imagine he's saying is, oh, my gosh, I caught the ball, and he pulls the ball out, and the right fielder kind of looks to the ump, and he smiles, and he turns back to the kid, and he fist bumps him.
It's really cool.
That is sports, what sports should be, right?
The coolest thing is the kid didn't realize he caught it right away.
Yeah,
because both gloves just kind of collide, and then he looks down. He's like, oh, wow, I caught it. Not you, the right fielder. And, yeah, they have that cool fist bump. But
that young man will remember that for the rest of his life. He looks to be, I don't know, what, 12 years old?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, around right? that age. And, I mean, he's just sitting in his seat, too. I mean, he did it so casually.
He didn't reach out.
No.
He didn't reach out or anything. He just looked up, and, oh, my gosh. Any parent, when you see the look on this kid's face, anybody, you don't even have to be a parent.
Well, I think his mom is sitting next to him during it all, too. So,
you got to find that, Joe. What's your Twitter handle, Joe? Why don't you repost that? That'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's @Joe_Brand1. I'll retweet it.
If the guy with the Cubs, if that was a 12-year-old kid, do you think Moises would have, you know, backed away with a smile on his face?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a totally different. I mean,
I was going to say, I mean, we're kind of comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, we are. No.
The same situation.
And these kids are face to face, or the kid and the player, Don, are literally like they're standing next to each other because it's that level.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, right down on the thing. So, I mean, the player could have easily reached out and. I mean, he did. He just fist-bumped the kid.
And,
cutest thing you ever want to see.
And the Diamondbacks are on the road, so they're at the home ballpark of the Braves, SunTrust Park. So that kid is probably a Braves fan.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah,
really
totally
cool.
It's all really cool. It really is.
Really cool. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get back to the phone calls now. This is Jerry, who's in Chicago. Jerry, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hi, Jer. Jerry?
Can't hear you.
Yeah, I can't hear you either, Jerry. I need you to get right inside that phone.
What?
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Jerry, and let's try Bill. Let's see if we can get Bill in here. Let's go there. Hey, Bill, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Thanks for taking the call, Lou. Lou, I'm involved with a general remodel job on my house here, and I'm trying to do a lot of work myself. And I had new windows put in the house probably about 10 years ago, vinyl. And at the time of purchase, of course, you had a lot of choices for the finish of the window as you would look at it from the inside. And I chose wood grain.
Okay.
Now with the remodel job, wood grain was fine 10 years ago, but now white would be much better. So I want to paint them. I talked to a painter. He didn't think that was too good of an idea. Is there a way to paint those windows on the inside and change the color?
I mean, you can paint anything, right? That's it's just a question of how long you want it to last. Now, there are paints specifically designed for this, but actually the Benjamin Moore interior, their interior paint will stick to that vinyl, and you probably will never have a problem with it whatsoever. So it's a paint and primer in one. You know, their product inside there, because there's so much acrylic in these paints now that it's super sticky, And the biggest thing is I would just, you know, wipe down the vinyl. I'd even take a little sanding sponge to just rough up the surface just ever so slightly. You don't have to go crazy, but just give it a little bit of a grain so that the paint has something to grab. Paint it, and you're done. If the windows are in decent shape, they're still opening, they're closing, they're not, you know, giving you any hassles, paint them.
No, none at all. Perfect.
Paint them.
Yeah, really good. Paint them. Okay, good. Another area now, I am removing wall-to-wall carpeting. It's coming out real easy from underneath the baseboard, and I'm pulling it up with no problem at all. My question is, will the new installers, would they prefer the baseboard to be off and use their own tack strip, or can I leave the baseboard on and will they use the existing tack strip?
If it were me, I would put, if I was the installer, I'd take the old tack strip up and put new one down. That way I guarantee. And actually for you, you'd prefer that too, because if the old tack strip comes up and there's a problem, then you come back and you say, hey, my carpeting doesn't work. What's going on? Oh, I use, you know, you said use the old tack strip. That came up, not my problem. So from a warranty, from a warranty perspective, you want them to put the new tack strip. The base can stay. That's not a problem. But if you're going to take all this up, take a Wonder Bar and pop up the tack strip. It's a huge pain in the butt to take up tack strip. But get it all up. Let them put the new stuff down. And then get your new carpeting wall-to-wall going. It'll look great. Appreciate the phone call.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
What falls but never gets hurt? The rain.
On House Smarts Radio.
What did the dirt say to the rain? If this keeps up, my name will be Mud.
He's a real fun guy.
Why is spring a great time to start a gardening business? Because it's the season where you can really rake in the cash.
Now back to your host on House Smarts Radio.
Today's show featuring lawn care is sponsored by Harry's Lumber, with Trex decking in stock and ready to ship. Just go to harryslumber.com. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. By the way, I've got this Misericordia. This is Misericordia's Candy Days weekend right now that's going on, but you will not find any volunteers out on the roadways today because of the pandemic, but there is a virtual giving opportunity for you. A little bit later on this morning, I'm going to talk with Sister Rosemary Connolly and Lois Gates from Misericordia to talk about their programs and to talk about how you can give. But if you'd like to join me in supporting my virtual candy jar, then all you have to do is, it's actually, well, you need to go to WGNradio.com. This month, we've got this going on. I have a virtual candy jar for Misericordia's 35th annual Candy Days. The money raised will support Misericordia's programs for over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. If you'd like to make a donation, just go to WGNradio.com/candy, and on that page, you'll see a link to donate. And I want to say a big thank you to my friends over at Townstone Financial, who are going to be making a matching donation of up to $2,500 to add to the efforts. We are super close right now to meeting our goal, and if this is something you'd like to do to support Misericordia, please do. Make your donation at WGNradio.com/candy. That's WGNradio.com/candy. And thank you for all you do to help, and I really do appreciate it. Let's go back to the phone lines now. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Laura in Naperville. Hi, Laura. Hello, Laura. Oh, Laura in Naperville. How about Laura in Lombard?
Hello?
Laura? What are the chances your name is Laura? I don't think it's Laura. Do we have Laura? There's two Laura. Is it Lauren?
Laura?
Laura, is that you, Laura?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
How about?
I don't even have my speakerphone on.
How about now?
Okay, it's a little bit better.
All right, how may I help you?
Okay, so I have a very modest townhome that I am getting vinyl siding on. And the guy suggested that I also get a new chimney cap. And he suggested I think he said steel, but I don't know if it was galvanized or stainless steel with a Kynar coating. And this is just a single flue, so it's not, and it, like I said, I don't want the cheapest,
right.
But I also don't want something that's far more deluxe than I really need.
Right.
So I just wanted to know your thoughts, and also is it a big deal if I wait until fall to have the chimney cleaned,
What does this chimney service? Is it your furnace? Is it
it's just the wood burning fireplace.
Okay,
and I haven't really had a lot of fires in it.
Okay, and it's wood,
but
it's not gas. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It's actual wood.
All right. So here's what's going to happen. In the fall, it's going to be hard to schedule people to come and do it because then everybody thinks about it. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to make fires. I need to get a chimney cleaning right now. And so right now you can get some pretty good deals to get chimney sweeps to come out there. So if your budget allows it, then that's probably the wise way to go. Of course, we have a sponsor, Lindeman Chimney. You can actually schedule. Mm-hmm. You can schedule online at cleanfireplace.com. As far as the chimney cap, the metal, whether it's galvanized or it's a metal with a coating, it's a similar coating to protect it from the elements, right? If it's a non-galvanized steel cap with the coating that you talk about, your expectation is it's a 15-year proposition plus, right? Before maybe you see a little, I got to get it painted or whatever like that. You go with galvanized, it's probably the last thing you're ever going to do. Like when you drive around and, you look at barns that have these galvanized roofs on it, they last forever. So if it saves you a little bit of money and, you don't need the Cadillac, but you need the Chevrolet, then I think that absolutely could be a wise choice for you. And I highly recommend the folks at Lindeman Chimney. They're really, really good, and they know what they're doing. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, when we come back, you heard me talk about Harry's Lumber. Are you thinking about building a deck or doing some sort of outdoor project in and around your home? One of the things that you may have heard when it comes to building materials is how scarce they are, meaning that you want to, do some work on your house, and nobody has any of the product to get the job done, in particular when it comes to outdoor living stuff, decking and, pergolas and all that kind of stuff. Not my friends over at Harry's. They know what's going on. You're going to want to listen what they have to say coming up.
It's almost that time of year when you can pour your second cup of coffee and head out to the deck to enjoy the morning. Is your deck ready? Do you have a deck? Are you thinking of putting in a deck? If you answered yes, it's good to have a friend in the lumberyard. Joined by Harry's Lumber, back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini. All right, this whole show is talking about your lawn and your garden and things you can do outdoors. Maybe it means building a deck or some kind of outdoor project. And if you're going to do that, you need a really good lumberyard to help you out. Well, I have someone from said lumberyard, Harry's Lumber Company. Joining me on the phone line is Aaron Sheffrin, who is the vice president. Aaron, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm a customer of yours. I love a good independent business. And give the listeners a little history lesson about Harry's Lumber.
Sure. So we are a family-owned business on the northwest side of Chicago. We opened up in 1940 with Harry who Jerry, his son. And, we've been at the same location, and Ira came into the business, Jerry's son, I believe back in the 70s or so, and we have just been here going strong. We're a full-service lumber company that does Trex decking, cedar, traditional building supplies, plywood, windows, doors, and we've been here for a long time, and we're just doing our best to navigate the climate right now.
You certainly have bucked the trend of, the big box stores that have certainly come in and, eliminated a lot of independent lumber yards. I've been around long enough, and as a former home builder myself, I did a lot of business with, smaller lumber yards that are no longer. And so it is so encouraging to see a business like yours not only thrive, but
evolve, right? I mean, and I think that, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about Treks and how you guys are, am I right? Are you one of the biggest, if not the biggest distributor in the Chicagoland area?
Sure. So we are the largest single retailer of Treks in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
You know, if we're in something, we're in something all the way. We stock, you know, all the lengths and the colors and the fasteners and the screws and the railing options. And, you know, we have really a fantastic staff here that is able to, you know, walk people through the process of what they need and making sure that they're covered for their projects and that, you know, they're really getting what they need and they're going to be happy with it at the end. So, you know, we're really full service from, you know, kind of helping people lay stuff out, you know, to making sure that we have all of these materials here and ready to go and you're not, you know, waiting a month or 2 months like has been the norm as of late.
Well, I mean, and that really is the trend. I mean, a lot of people are hearing that, you know, maybe they're in a project right now or and they're waiting on siding or they're waiting on some facet of the project and it can come to a screeching halt. But you and I spoke in advance a little bit and you sort of saw you were kind of reading the tea leaves and probably hedged your bet a little bit. And it turns out that from a standpoint, if people are thinking about doing a project, whether it's building a deck or a pergola or some kind of exterior structure or interior structure for that matter, you guys are pretty well stocked.
Absolutely. And it's been difficult to make sure that we do have stock, but you know, our focus is making sure that we're always going to have quality building materials here on site, you know, ready to ship out, you know, same day, next day, whether it's Treks, lumber, plywood and such. And you know, we're always going to have quality materials, which has always been really important. Also, one of the really important things is making sure that we have people here who know what the heck they're doing. And right. Once again, you know, we're really lucky to have a staff here that really knows what they're doing, really cares about what they're doing, and you know, helping people out to find the best solutions that they possibly can. So, yeah, we are stocked to the gills. We need a little bit more space. But, you know, we have plenty of product here to be able to sell. You know, we're really looking forward to the upcoming season for decks and outdoor stuff, but also, you know, remodeling as well as, you know, new construction.
One of the things I know that's changed for you as a single location is that you're not currently taking walk-ins, right? But people can do, like if someone's listening now going, oh, you know, I really do want to build a Treks deck. I'm going to walk over to Harry's and I'm going to, you know, talk to them about that. How would somebody go about working with you under the current conditions?
Sure. So we're doing a lot more stuff over the phone. And it was certainly a little bit different at first and, you know, people wanted to come in, but we've really found that it's worked out, you know, pretty well for most. We're able to spend more time talking to people. You know, about different options. We have a display in the window where you can see stuff. We have a deck display that's outside off of Northwest Highway that you can see. And if you did want to make an appointment, you can come in and we can, you know, show you the deck in the back with a mask on and everything. And,
sure.
You know, make sure that you're getting what you need. We certainly can send you home with samples. We can send you home with, you know, brochures. And, you know, we're certainly happy to talk to you about, you know, anything, any questions you have about the project. And you know, just help you out any way that we can.
Right, right. No, I think that's great, and I think you're just being smart about keeping your staff safe and your customers safe, but still being able to provide the materials that people need. And I give you a lot of credit for really working hard to keep this stuff in stock, because that has been a challenge for a lot of different places. I mean, you can go to, you know, the big box stores and they don't carry Treks or whatever, but they just don't have enough. And all of a sudden you want to get going on a project, you know, even if it's interior doors or interior trim or whatever it might be. And there's just not enough there to get the project done. And here you guys have been, you know, in the community since 1940. That's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah, we feel really lucky and fortunate. You know, there's so many things that have happened to so many people, you know, over the last year, you know, that we've been able to just keep everybody here healthy and safe. and, you know, that we've been able to, you know, grow as a company and be able to do well. You know, there's a lot of people that have not been as fortunate. And so, you know, we're doing our best, you know, to make sure that we're giving everybody, you know, a positive experience. We're giving everybody the resources that they need, you know, our customers and builders and everything to be successful. You know, we've, you know, I don't know if we've done everything right, but we've certainly tried our best to, and, we're certainly, you know, we're just trying to do the best we can.
Right. No. And that's, I think that that's all any of us can do. And certainly I know that there's a lot of people that want to support local businesses, want to support, you know, smaller businesses because they're so ingrained in the community and ingrained in providing high quality products with the best quality service they can give. So if people want to contact you or figure out ways to get their project off the ground and learn more about whether it's Trex products or any of the full service building lines that you carry, how do they go about doing that?
So you certainly can start with a phone call. 773-631-6568. You can talk to anybody here. Everybody here is knowledgeable, can certainly help you out with any questions that you have. Our website is a good place to start off at harryslumber.com. And, you know, also email info@harryslumber.com as well. We're pretty responsive. We like to get back to everybody within a day as far as, listen, you know, this is going to take a little searching, or, you know, we need to look at something else here. But we're always going to get back to somebody the same day and, you know, try and give you, you know, exceptional service. And so those are the three main ways to get a hold of us. But like I said, we're here from 6:30 to 4 Monday through Friday. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to give us a call.
That's awesome. Aaron Sheffrin, who is vice president over at Harry's Lumber Company. Harry'sLumber.com is the website. The phone number is 773-631-6568. Aaron, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well, Lou. Take care.
This is Len, who is in on northwest side of Chicago. Hey, Len.
Oh, good morning, Lou. Hey, I have two items to run past you. I have a two-flat northwest side, had new windows put in the late fall, and just looking at it the other day, with the new insert windows, they're not wide enough to accommodate the old window air conditioners I had.
Oh, yeah.
Can window air conditioners be run on the side, like flip them on its side?
No,
run, or
no. No. I mean, they do make versions like that, but they're for... they're typically for casement windows, so that would not be something that that you could do. It just won't run because of the way the compressor is. Now, where you had these two windows in, what room is it?
The dining room.
And you just take...
Yeah, I had one of your sponsors, I had to come in, and the windows are very nice, but... I didn't even think about it at the time that it's like the entire new insert.
Yeah, you know, right. It gets a little bit smaller.
Insert.
So here's the thing. They do make small, you know, if it's just a dining room, you probably only need about 5,000 BTUs to cool that space off. Now you could do one of two things. You could buy new units, you know, that are probably going to cost you about $1.50 a piece, you know, $150 or so for each of them if you need two. Or have you ever thought about possibly installing a split system? Like, do you use window air conditioners in other rooms in the house?
Yes.
How many?
One in each bedroom, so it's two bedrooms, so... It'd be one in each bedroom, and then also one in the dining room area. Mm-hmm.
And when you put these in, are you someone that uses them? Meaning that, hey, summer comes, I put the window units in, and those things are on during the summer. Are you that type of user of the air conditioner?
No, more of an intermittent.
Intermittent.
I enjoy the summer weather until
it
gets up into the 90s with high humidity.
Sure. No. And that's why I asked that, because... If you've ever heard me speak about these split systems or these what they call the ductless systems, they can put a cartridge, which basically hangs on the wall,
They drill 1 3-inch hole through the walls, and they run this to what's called an inverter, which is basically what you and I would call a compressor outside. And and this unit, instead of taking up your windows, sits there and can do your, you know, you can put multiple cartridges onto one inverter. You know, if you size the unit properly, so you could put a cartridge in the two bedrooms, one in each, and then one in the dining room, and run it off of one inverter. Now, something like that may cost you $5,000 or so, you know, maybe a little bit more, but it'll be done in one day, and you can adjust the temperature in each individual room, and you don't give up the window anymore.
Okay.
So for somebody that likes to enjoy the weather, meaning that, hey, it's cool tonight, I want to open up a window, well, you can't do that once you put a window unit in.
Right, right.
So
that's an option.
It's an option to think about. We've got plenty of sponsors that do that. Dykstra Home Services is one that you could certainly contact to get an estimate from. American Weather Makers, even Perfect Home Services. All three of them, talk to them about what's called their split system, their ductless system, and they should be able to help you with that. At least to get your price, see if that works. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. I'm going to go to line two. I don't know who is on line. Oh, Tom is on line two. Hey, Tom, good morning. Hey, Tom. I hear Tom. He was right there. We were all ready to go. Put the phone down. Tom? Tom? Hello, Tom.
I do know what Tom wanted. It was a quick call. He just wanted to know if wet and forget can be used. He's got dark bricks on his like pavers, and he wanted to know if wet and forget could be used on
100%. So we are, you know, we were joking about this. Like, what's the sign of spring? The swallows are coming to Capistrano. No, it's the fact that you can use wet and forget because it's warm enough to use that, and you can literally use wet and forget on just about any exterior surface, in particular brickwork. Here's the thing. You spray it on, and then you walk away. Wet and forget doesn't work immediately. It's designed to work over time. So when you spray that on that brickwork, stay off of that once it dries. In about 2 weeks, be ready to be amazed. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This show today is all about lawn care, sponsored by Harry's Lumber, with Trex decking in stock and ready to ship at harryslumber.com. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Sacrete or Quickcrete. Quickcrete. Quickcrete.
And House Smarts Radio.
And has a 4.9 Google rating.
He really does know what he's talking about. Sometimes he just has a hard time getting it out.
Joining me on the phone line is Kat Kataringala. I had it.
Dang. Ding-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong.
Now back to Lou Manfredini taking your calls live.
Karingala. There you go. You're doing great, Lou. Don't worry about it.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
I love when the guests are reassuring me. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio. Hey, make sure you have a sharp mower blade on that lawnmower. Not only does it keep that mower in tip-top shape, it can actually improve the look of your lawn. See, dull blades can rip the grass instead of trimming it and gently causing the lawns to look ragged and choppy. That was my name back in the 70s. If your blade needs attention, take it to the hardware store for a professional sharpening. If you choose a DIY option instead, you can get a grinder. There's even an attachment that goes on the end of a Dremel tool if you'd like to sharpen your own blade. But sharp blades mean a better, healthier lawn, that is for sure. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is the phone number. Let's get back to the calls now and speak with Lee, who's in Mount Greenwood. Hi, Lee. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call. And I have to tell you, these are positive comments I'm going to make. And I love the music you play between your commercials. It's my kind of music.
Good. So, that's great.
First off, I'm going to have my 81st birthday next month, May 26th. So I've listened to you over the years and enjoyed and found a lot of your tips very helpful.
Well, happy birthday. That's great.
About the Dirt Devil. And it's ironic because I just threw out my Dirt Devil after almost 30 years in the past 2 weeks. And when you talked about the Dirt Devil this morning with the little brush at the end, I thought, I've got to get one of those. So that's a definite. That's been around for a long, long time, and they really work.
Yeah.
The second comment and thank you is about the birds, because I do have some friendly little robins that have nested on my gutters and different things over the years. So I love the tip about the the windows, because last year I had a real problem with dirty windows and them flopping right into it. So hopefully this will alleviate that problem and help out my robins and my cardinals.
That's great.
And the last one, because I'm not going to keep you, I know you you have a lot of callers. I do want to thank you for the music in between your commercials. Like I say, I'm going to be 81 next month, so I was a Beatles girl, and the music you play, I'm bopping to the music. It's great.
That's so sweet.
Last year, you had given me some tips regarding my garage, because I needed a new overhead door, and got that. Got the new siding on my garage. It looks terrific. Everything I wanted, and just wanted to give you some positive notes, as we all need them. You know that over the years. And keep up the good work. Don't have any problems yet, but guaranteed I may call you in the future. You never know.
I look forward.
So how are you otherwise?
I'm doing great, and I look forward to you calling back. And that's so nice of you to say all those kind things. We're just trying to do our very best every Saturday morning. And happy 81st birthday to you coming up at the end of the month.
Well, thank you very much. Let me tell you, it's just a number. I've been saying that because I retired 7 years ago after working at my job for over 52 years.
Wow.
And needless to say, I enjoyed my job. Obviously, I wouldn't have stayed there had I not.
Right.
But due to circumstances, I'm retired now and enjoying my small home in Mount Greenwood and my many friends and what can I say? It's been a rough year for everybody, but hopefully everything will get better for everyone. And keep a positive outlook. It will get better. And all good things come to those who wait.
Amen to that. Thank you so much. That's such a great place to. Well, you're absolutely right. That was just beautiful. Thank you so much, Lee, for the phone call. You're very kind. And again, happy birthday to you. That's great. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Wayne, who's in Peoria. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to clarify something you were talking about the other day. My friend has some new front steps that were built last year out of pressure-treated wood.
Okay.
And we needed to treat them. You talked about the Pinofin stain and the deck wash, but you mentioned if it were perfect, it would get pressure washed. So I was just wondering, if we can pressure wash it, does that replace the need for the Pinofin deck wash?
Yeah. I mean, some people just don't want to use a pressure washer, and for some, what you have to be careful with a pressure washer, it can be a very aggressive tool, right? And if you're not, if you're not, deliberate with using it, you can damage the wood. Now, the nice thing about wood is, you can renew it and sand it and bring it back, but if we're just talking about a few steps and a landing, if you want to make quick work of it, then you absolutely... When did you say this was built? A year ago?
Last July, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really just want to clean up the surface of that. I will tell you that especially with treated lumber, something that's that old, it's still important to do some light sanding on the actual deck surface itself. And the reason is that I've spoken of this before. When the deck sits out in the sun, it almost becomes, you get this thing called wood shine, which is it's the fibers of the wood constricting from the sun, and then that can keep whatever kind of stain you use from absorbing into the fibers of the wood. And that's when you'll hear people say, I followed all the instructions and it's all peeling because it never penetrated. And that's where the sanding step for a lot of people don't take that step and pay for it down the in the end. You don't have to go crazy. We just need to open up those fibers, then brush it off or blow it off with a compressor, whatever it might be. Once it's dry after a couple days, you can apply the oil-based stain. And as you mentioned, I'm a big fan of the Penifin Rosewood Oil-Based Deck Stain.
Okay. And so just to make sure I do it right, what kind of grit would you suggest for the sanding?
How big of an area are we talking about?
Maybe a 6 by 7 foot landing and half a dozen steps.
I mean, you could get a medium grit. You could, a couple ways to do this. They make a sanding pole where you can put a quarter sheet of, you rip it down lengthwise on the end of it, and you put a broom handle on the end of it. And so if that was like a 60 grit, that would be great. It doesn't have to be super smooth. We just need to open up the grain a little bit, and then you can use that same grit around any edges or whatnot. Then make sure that that's dry and clean before you apply the stain.
And that's mostly just for the flat or the horizontal surface.
It's mostly for the flat portion of the deck that's facing the sky. That can be true of the railings. If you've got a rail like a drink rail, where it's maybe a piece of five quarter decking that's that flat part. That flat part is where you get a lot of the wood shine, and that's where you need to open up the grain.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Hey, guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Eager to renovate the look of your bathroom or kitchen? You're not alone. And the wait list is growing, unless you head to Builder Supply Outlet for a range of products readily available to spruce up your space today. Add a touch of class with an elegant bathroom vanity and self-cleaning toilet, or a bold geometric backsplash and stylish new hardware. Easy, affordable ways to reboot a boring bathroom or tired-looking kitchen. If you can't wait for a full renovation, stop by Builder Supply Outlet and start a refresh today.
You know what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Well, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I
do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell. I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Today's show featuring lawn care is sponsored by Harry's Lumber, with Trex decking in stock and ready to ship at harryslumber.com. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Barry, who is in, where are you, Barry? You're in Homewood. Hey, Barry.
Yep. Hey, how you doing, Lou?
What's going on?
My wife and I, we're in the process of trying to redo our kitchen cabinets.
Okay.
What is the best thing you think that we should do? Right now they're painted, and we want to redo them.
Now, when you say redo them, you want new cabinets, or you just want to refinish them again?
We want to refinish them again.
Okay. And did you paint them, or were they painted already?
They were painted already. We had it painted a few years ago.
All right. And then you want to try and do this yourself?
Yes.
All right. Do you have a garage?
Yes, I do.
All right. So we're going to take all the doors off of all the cabinets. And if you can set up a couple of saw horses, or, what I would do, if you're going to do this yourself, since you're going to save some money, you can go to the home center or the hardware store, and I think it's Black & Decker makes these lightweight saw horses out of plastic that come in a two pack. I'm going to say they're $20 for a two pack. I might be wrong on the price, but it's around that price. Buy three sets. Okay, because you're going to need to move stuff around a lot, and
okay,
and so what you can do, actually, I take that back, buy two sets. What they have on these plastic ones is they have notches that are will fit a 2x4 on edge. Does that make sense? So you're going to take the two horses and you're going to buy a couple of 8-foot 2x4s or 10-foot 2x4s because they're cabinet fronts. They don't weigh a lot. And you're going to set up the wood so you have a nice long table. You're going to take the doors. You're going to sand them all down with a like a pad sander or an oscillating sander. And you're going to need some sanding sponges, medium grit. I don't need all the paint. I don't need all the paint off of it, but I need it to be nice and smooth and consistent. So when you're done, you're going to be using a kind of a fine paper so it's as smooth as possible, and you're going to do that on all four sides of the door. On the cabinet frames, you're going to do the same thing, but that you're going to have to do by hand, obviously, in the house. Then you have a couple of choices when it comes to paint. I really like, it's been renamed, but Ace used to make this cabinet and trim paint. It's now under their Clark and Kensington name, and it is a it is what's called an alkalid paint, and it's self-leveling. So using a small 4-inch roller, you're going to take, if the doors have a little raised panel to it, you'll take a brush to work in the corners, but then you're going to roll, you're going to roll everything with the little 4-inch roller in a small rolling pan. And at first, it may look a little streaky, Barry, but then after a couple, after a day or so, it's going to self level and almost look like you spray painted it.
Nice. That was my question. A lot of people told me I should get a sprayer and spray them.
Here's the problem. The spraying, there's a lot of technique that is involved in getting the good results on the sprayer.
Okay.
And unless you have a ton of experience doing that, you're going to spend so much time screwing it up until you get it right, that if you use this self-leveling paint under the Clark and Kensington name, the cabinet trim paint, it's going to take at least two coats. Are we, what color are the cabinets now and what color do you want them?
Gray and American.
They're currently gray. Oh, I'm losing you, Barry. They're currently gray, and then what color do you want to go to? What color do you want to go to?
Like a cream.
Okay. So you're going to need at least two coats. You may even need three, so you just need to be patient. And, you know, what I will tell you is with the doors and everything, do the fronts and the edges of the fronts first so that that's perfect. If there's going to be any drips or anything that have to get sanded down, that's going to be on the back side, right?
Okay, right.
And another little tip is when you lay those 2x4s out to accept your doors, I want you to take painter's tape, two runs of painter's tape over the top of the over the top of the 2x4 to give yourself a little cushion that won't scratch or mar the doors as you're moving stuff around.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No problem.
Take your time, one door at a time, allow time to dry, and you'll have some pretty good results. You really will really be happy with it. It's nice stuff. Let's see if we can squeak in one more call before we go to news. This is Tom, who's in Naperville. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How may I help you?
Hello. Well, I've got an unusual problem. I have a natural gas grill mounted on a concrete patio, and this year when I went to fire it up, I am getting a gurgling sound. It sounds like water gurgling within the system, and I'm getting a very weak flow of gas coming up to the unit. And I'm kind of scratching my head trying to figure out what's causing that.
You don't use this grill typically in the winter?
No.
Okay. And you...
I had it sealed up for the winter.
And you're not smelling any gas anywhere?
I'm getting some gas, but not the full amount that I normally would get.
No, I know you're getting it. But in other words, with everything off, if you go out to where this gas grill is, you're not smelling any leaking gas or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
My guess is the first thing that I would check is the regulator that's going into the unit. It could be that that's compromised, or that there'd be either the regulator or there's water in the burners. Who's the maker of this gas grill?
MHP.
MHP.
Modern Home Products.
Okay. When you take it all apart, how many burners do you have?
Two.
Okay. So.
And I have pulled that out, taken out the whole Venturi setup there.
No water there whatsoever.
The orifices, it's all totally dry.
Okay. So let's try this. With it all back together, where the gas line comes into it, there's a regulator right there that it connects to, right? Kind of a square
actually,
box.
No, there isn't.
There's not.
It's just directly going, connecting.
And there should be
no regulator between the unit and the
burners.
And the burners.
I'm surprised. Yeah. Okay. Well, then the next thing I would do is maybe there is a piece of debris in the gas line. Now, do you have a shutoff prior to where it connects to the grill? Does it connect with a quickcrete?
With a quarter turn connect in the basement that I turn off every winter.
All right, so turn that off. Follow that line to where it goes into the grill. Is it a flex line that goes into the grill, or is it all hard piped?
Flex line. It comes up from the concrete.
Okay, where that pipe comes in, flex line from the concrete.
Well, yeah,
there's a little piece of pipe that sticks up, correct?
Right. I think there's a little piece of pipe that sticks up, which I think is copper, and then that connects to a flex pipe that actually connects to the valve assembly.
Okay. Take that apart with the valve off. Make sure that line is clean. You may even want to purge that line a little bit when it's disconnected safely with nobody around, making sure there's no matches or anything, turn the gas on and articulate it a little bit, because if it's coming up out of the ground, you don't have a sediment trap. And so it could be that flakes are down inside there and that's what's causing the lack of flow. And I bet the issue is where that flex line, you have a breach between the flex line and the burner tubes that's causing that problem. And if you clean that up, that should help. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, it's our new Tulu 2. You're going to love this for the garden.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. What's love?
I love you, people. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. How about you think about planting your own food? Save yourself a trip to the grocery store. As consumers look for ways to save money, the answer may be right in your own backyard. Gardens can be a wonderful distraction from the busy hustle and bustle of life, but they can also help feed your family, grow your own vegetables, plant a few new fruit trees, and watch just how much you can save by harvesting your own stuff. We did a garden last year. We made it even bigger this year. I'm so looking forward to planting it. As a matter of fact, our Noodaloo 2 kind of has a connection to your own garden. It's sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
This weekend's New Tulu 2 was invented by a spunky entrepreneur that just doesn't quit. Daniel Mathau is an 85-year-old Connecticut native who has always loved working in the garden. It's always been his favorite hobby. But after two artificial knees and two artificial hips, he found it increasingly difficult to dig and cultivate his garden like he used to. In fact, it was so painful, he thought he'd have to give up entirely. But being an inventor all of his life, Daniel decided to develop a new type of shovel that would more easily penetrate tough soils. After many trials and test runs later, the Spearhead Spade Garden Shovel was born. The Spearhead Spade Garden Shovel is a hybrid between a shovel and a spade. Its primary angles give it the ability to auto-seek the path of least resistance, and its subsequent special angles allow it to gradually ease, burrow, and penetrate challenging conditions. It claims it makes your toughest tasks up to 80% easier than with regular shovels. The tougher the conditions, the more it makes a difference. The specially shaped and beveled steel blade is 33% thicker and 25% harder than regular shovels, and slices through the most demanding of plant material and soils while getting sharper with every use. The Spearhead Spade Garden Shovel is great for seniors or folks with ailments that might need more digging power, or really any serious gardener looking for good tools to make the job easier. It works best when digging in soils with lots of rocks and debris or tough solids like clay. Also good for separating or transplanting perennials or for those curved or circular borders. One Spearhead Spade Garden Shovel goes for $52, and you can find out more at HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's
Noodaloo-Doo. Lindsay stopped by to meet Bruno yesterday and brought me the new Spearhead Spade Shovel. And I was like, oh, I'm looking at it, and, you know, we were talking about it. I'm like, I really like this. Well, then, you know, I told you, I'm talking about the gardening, and I built a bigger garden, a big raised garden. It's going to be 4 feet by 8 feet. And I filled it with dirt. And do you know what the garden weasel is?
What?
It's a tool to use in the garden. It's not a. It's not. It's a. It's like a little. It's a. It's a. It's a. It's got these little wheels on it. It's got a handle, and it cultivates the soil. I'm like, and I have one. I like it. It's really nice for cleaning up. I'm like, well, I'm going to take the garden weasel. I put some sand in the soil. Mike J told me to add a little sand. So I put sand in the soil, and I was going to mix it up, but it was rock hard. I'm like, oh, I need a shovel. I go, I know. I need the Spearhead shovel, spade shovel. Nice. So this guy's pretty smart. So if you know what a digging spade is, it's this very thin, long blade. And it is really good for digging small, thin trenches. But if you're scooping dirt out, there's nothing to it. It's like you're digging with a spoon.
Right.
Because it's so narrow.
Right.
Well, he flared the top of this thing. And I'm like, I'm going to try. Now, the one that they sent us is the smaller one, the shorter handle. They have different sizes. It cut right through that dirt.
Right through.
I was like, bang, bang, bang. I'm like, good. Look at
That's
me.
Great.
Yeah.
Look
at so you it's really, gardening. It's really a nice shovel. And it's got a fiberglass handle, so it's super strong. And at $52, that's a good deal. Like, this is something that professionals could use all day long.
I love that he's 85 and still cranking out ideas.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. So check it out. Go to HouseSmartsRadio.com to learn more. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Jim calling in from St. Charles. Hey, Jim, good morning. He's right there. I hear him. He's been waiting. He was listening through the whole Noodaloo 2. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you, sir?
I really hear you, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
About 5-6 years ago, we had wood floors installed. It's a 40-year-old house, and the wood floors were installed right onto the subfloor, plywood subfloor. And in the spring and summer, when the air conditioning is on, we got a section that buckles because of the cold, moist air coming, you know, through the vent work.
Okay.
I tried to look to see if I could put some insulation between the ductwork and the floor, subfloor, but it's right up against the subfloor, so there's no space. I was wondering if I have to drop the ductwork to get in there, or is there some other way of doing that?
So the ductwork is, in other words, it's up in there and it's all the way. Yeah, I mean, the problem is, if it's tight up against there, if you put any, even like try a spray foam or something, it's just not going to have any kind of effect because you're not going to have any thickness there. And if you if you drop the ductwork, you're going to have to, you know, wherever it connects on either end, you're going to have to come up with a new boot to redirect it so that you get the, you know, the thickness of, you know, whatever insulation you're going to put up there to put the ductwork back in. How big, you said it's a crawl?
No, it's a full basement.
It's a full basement, but is it all exposed?
Yeah, it's a drop ceiling.
Okay, so then
the ductwork is between the subfloor and the drop ceiling.
Yeah, so then if you drop it, now we got to create a soffit.
Yeah.
This area where you had the problem, you said it was due to moisture?
Well, the cold, moist air that goes through the ductwork to the vent is causing that in the spring and summer
when
the air conditioning is on.
I see.
In the winter, it all
dries up.
Dries out and sits down real flat, so I don't have any buckling in the winter.
And you don't. And it, were you present when this flooring went down?
Yes.
And do you remember them putting any vapor barrier down under the wood between that and the wood floor?
They did not.
Okay.
They went right to the wood floor. To the subfloor.
Well, you could try. You could try dropping the ductwork and putting a vapor barrier right above it, and seeing if that helps.
And then you wouldn't have to worry about making up the space at the vents, right?
Right, now we're talking about using, you know, a piece of visqueen or even, I mean, I almost wonder, you know, normally it would be what they would put down is like red rosin paper to give you a little bit. Because the thing is, what I don't want to do is with visqueen, if there's a lot of moisture there, I worry that you're going to trap moisture and have a mildew and mold issue. I worry that when you drop that ductwork, if you see a little mildew and mold right there as well. If there's that much moisture, that's certainly a possibility. This drop ceiling, I'll tell you what, if it were me, I would drop the ductwork. I'd cut and staple two layers of red rosin paper to the underside of that shaft where you have this ductwork. And then maybe, how long of a run are we talking about in the ductwork?
Oh, it goes across about 12 feet.
All right. In that 12 feet, I would change three of the ceiling panels to three vents. Is it like a 2x2 or is it a 2x4?
2x4 foam.
Right.
Styrofoam. Yeah.
So buy three 2x4 grates and replace that so there's some airflow there.
Okay.
Paint the, I'm assuming the thing is white. Paint the ductwork white so when it's there, it kind of all blends in, you know. But then at least I get a little airflow down there that if there is any moisture trapped, at least it gives it a pathway out and not bouncing up against the insulation.
So who would I call for the ductwork? Is that a plumber or is it somebody specializing?
No, it's a, you know, it's an HVAC. It's an HVAC, you know, any, where are you out in St. Charles?
St. Charles.
So. Yeah. Out by you, Perfect Home Services, they may come out and do that for you. The vapor barrier thing, they might be like, you know, they probably have like some insulation, rigid insulation they could put up there too. I need anything for a vapor barrier, but whatever they put there, we want it to go back in the same spot. So it can't be super thick. You know, maybe you have, I mean, maybe you've got a half inch of clearance and they could put a piece of foil rigid insulation to cut it in between there. You know, then that would be within their wheelhouse, you know, to do something like that. And it's again, I don't know that they're going to do this work, but you could certainly try because it would be in, you know, it's an HVAC thing. And then on the panels, you know, you could certainly do that yourself or get a painter or somebody like that to do the work.
Yeah. Okay. Another question?
Sure.
My refrigerator, which was put in the same time we did all this redecorating, it's got an ice maker, and every 6 or 8 months I change the filter on there, but it's still, all the ice cubes have white particles in them, so I don't really use the ice cubes. But the water spout seems to be okay. So is there like a plastic line that goes separate to the water from the ice?
Should be the same line. Why you're getting calcification on the ice maker, I mean, it's the same water line that reads there, and the filter should filter both of those things. The cloudiness on the only thing I would tell you there is maybe you got to take apart the ice maker and clean it all out. And there's, you know, the part that fills it, you know, that actually that connects to the hose and then fills the little tray that then makes the ice. There could be some calcification there that it's just picking up a little bit of sediment every time it pours over that. And it might make sense to, yep. to take that apart and clean it and then see if that makes a difference for the ice. But if the water is fine, if you fill a glass of water and put it on the counter and you don't see anything, then the logical thing is it's something to do with the ice maker that you could possibly repair by doing a little bit of cleaning. Thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Got up in the attic the next rain to look around and found a specific point of a leak right where the chimney comes out the roof. So I immediately thought, it's probably a flashing issue. We called a...
And did you kind of hike up your pants at that point? Because they're like, yeah, it's probably a flashing issue.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, honey, don't worry, I can handle it. I can handle it. You're kind of looking like Don Knotts in the Andy Griffith Show.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's a flashing detail. And all I need is a little caulk, and I'm all set, honey. I think I need to take a nap.
Now back to your host on House Smarts Radio.
877-2134-LOU. Why don't you call my name? This is Lisa in Northlake. Hi, Lisa. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Good. So we purchased a house. The carpet was stained, yucky. We noticed that there were hardwood floors underneath. Pulled up all the carpeting.
Nice.
There are, yeah, they look beautiful, but there's paint all along the edges and paint splatters all over. So everybody's telling us different things. White vinegar, apple cider vinegar, paint remover, minimal. So what do we do?
You ready?
Yep.
Superzilla.
Superzilla. Okay.
This the horn has been sitting here all day, and I haven't used it yet.
Well, I'm glad you got to use it.
There you go. Just for you, Superzilla. Okay, so it is a bio-based cleaner and lightweight oil. And you're going to buy a spray bottle of it, and you're also going to buy a couple of, this is what you're going to buy, plastic putty knives.
Got them.
Okay. And some nylon stripping brushes.
Okay.
They look like giant toothbrushes, but the bristles on them are stiff. So go ahead and spray the oil on the perimeter of where you have all the paint.
Okay.
Have a nice big cup of coffee. How do you take your coffee? How do you take
heavy cream?
Me too. So enjoy the cup of coffee. Let it sit there for like 10 minutes. Then go at it with the plastic putty knife and the nylon bristled stripping brush. Have a rag with some warm water and dish soap. Once you get it all up, wipe it away and enjoy.
Great. And it obviously won't hurt the hardwood floors.
It won't hurt the hardwood floors. It won't hurt the paint. No more than 10 minutes, though. And just, you know, the whole idea with the plastic putty knife is you don't, you know, you won't scratch anything with it and go from there.
Okay. And then afterwards, what's the best way? We're not having them redone right away, but to kind of make them look a little bit better, what would be like a top finish that you suggest?
That you're going to do, or you're going to have someone do it?
Yeah, just like something, rub it in, you know, to make it look kind of pretty.
Well, what I would do is if you want to try and do it yourself, there's a company called Rejuvenate that has a hardwood refresher that's pretty easy to use. And if you follow the instruction, you got to empty the room and you literally mop it on. They give you kind of a synthetic mop. It's a urethane product that you back out. And once it levels off, it is amazing how nice it works.
Okay.
How nice it works. Just follow the instructions on the bottle and you should be good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Well, anyway, listen. So Cecil and the other kids went in together, and they bought him this riding mower. I told them when they bought that mower, I said, look, that man's 82 years old. He don't need no 12 horsepower. But they wouldn't listen. Sears had that sale going on. Nothing down, no payments till April. They said, we'll just add that to what we already owe. Well, you know, listen, you know, when he turned 80, they took away his weed eater. He was chasing bumblebees with it. But you know, he wore those real thick bifocals, remember that? He wore bifocals. So when he would look up like that right there, look up. That bumblebee like a buzzard to him. And then, of course, when he would look down like that right there, look down. He was so proud.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-2134-LOU. Doesn't need any 12-horsepower lawnmower. 877-213-4568. How about our next caller gets a House Smarts Radio hat, Lindsay? Sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com. Give them a call at 773-661-0606. And let's send that hat out to Sharon, who's in Streamwood. Hi, Sharon. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
How may I help you?
Okay, I listen to you almost every week, and I should know the answer, but I don't. What is the name of that gutter cover company that you recommend?
Well, there's several different ones that you can consider. The one that I have on my own house is called Leaf Relief.
Okay.
All right. And that is, it used to be a company owned by Alcoa, but then it got sold to someone else. And it's a, it's a basically an aluminum sieve that covers over the top. Now, are your gutters, Sharon, in good shape?
Yeah. I just had them put on within the last, 2 years, maybe.
Okay. And so you need somebody to put this in?
Right.
Okay. I just read that we're going to send you out a House Smarts Radio hat from our friends over at Cobblestone. You're welcome. They're the ones that installed the Leaf Relief on my home 20 years ago.
Okay.
And so you could... Go ahead.
You may have answered my second question. Just driving through the neighborhood, I noticed some of them look like a solid cover, and some did look more like a screen or mesh type.
Right. This one.
I just was wondering if there's any advantage of one over the other.
Well, the ones that are kind of look like a screen that kind of have a little bubble to them. Those tend to not hold up as well because they're just a little bit lighter weight. Now, this particular product that I mentioned, this Leaf Relief product, is a pretty rigid piece of aluminum that is not unlike the holes that it has in it is like your colander or your strainer you use when you're making pasta. So it's nice and durable. They slide it underneath that first course of the shingle and and then they screw it down with aluminum screws onto your gutter itself. Buckets of water can go in there, and the idea behind it, because it sits flat on the gutter, if a leaf does get on top of there, once it dries up, the wind just blows it away.
Okay. And do you possibly have their number you can give me?
You ready?
Uh-huh.
773. 661.
Okay.
0606.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and stay safe during this pandemic.
You too. I plan on it, and I hope that you do as well. 877-213-4568. By the way, our show today featuring lawn care, it's sponsored by the Toro Company. Check out their full line of interchangeable battery-powered tools, including the number one mower at Toro.com. Let's go back to the phone lines now and talk with, I like this. This is a cool name. This would have been a cool name, not for a dog, but if I have another child, I'm going to name the child Vance. Vance, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Yes, Lou, I have an issue. I have two lights on the outside of my home. And birds are constantly building nests, and it's driving me crazy. I'm knocking it down. They're building it back. I'm knocking it down. I'm building it back. And then a bird tried to come at me the other day. So what can I do to stop this?
Can you reach these lights?
Yes.
Okay. So I had a caller earlier this morning that had the same issue with birds going into the window. We just need to change their behavior. Because they're just creatures of habit coming back and back and back. Go to the hardware store, and you can buy either by the foot or you can buy a roll. Now, if you can buy the foot, if they sell something called hardware cloth, which is a kind of a heavier duty screening like chicken wire, but it's a little bit thicker, and buy like, I don't know, you said there are two lights, so buy 3 feet of it, okay? And then, so it's typically going to be like 2 feet wide by 3 feet in length. And then with a pair of tin snips, cut that in half. And then make a cover. You just bend it to hang it on the light. Now, it's going to look like the house that Jack built for about a week. But the thing is, then the birds won't be able to get at it. It's not going to be something that they can get behind and build a nest, and it's going to frustrate them. And the thing is, the reason they're so eager to build that nest is they're with child. And so they got to hurry up and find a spot. And the minute they realize that they can't do it at your place, they're going to go somewhere else.
Okay, because I'm constantly... You know, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm
telling you.
I'm knocking it off, and
when you,
I get the blower, and I blow it, around, try to, clean the sidewalk off in the front and in the back. I mean, the front and the side of the home, and then they just keep coming back and back and back. And the other day, I was up there trying to knock it down, and this bird just zoomed, trying to come right at me. I'm going like, holy crap.
Try the hardware cloth trick, and I think you'll solve the problem. Just make sure that when you form it around the light, you may even need a little string or some zip ties so it's tight against the wall, covering the light, and there's not a place for them to perch. So it's got to be something that is just not inviting to them. And then who was the lady that sang the song "You Light Up My Life"? Remember that one? What was her name? "You Light Up My Life." Debbie Boone? Debbie Boone? Anybody? Debbie Boone? You could play that out there and see if that helps, because he's going for the lights. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I'm not building a house right now, but you need lumber and copper to make houses. I was going to make Daisy, our Dizzy Dapple Dachshund, a little place, but I priced out the materials and it came to $84,000.
Whether it's for your house or your dog's house, whether it's the house you live in or the house you're building.
$84,000.
There was Noelle had central air counter, the granite countertops. She wanted granite. Actually, she wanted quartz, and I said no.
Before you make any rash decisions, now's the time to call Lou.
Way to put your foot down, John.
She wanted a finished basement.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live.
And out loud.
On House Smarts Radio.
I really thought that John loved his dog. I mean, now that I have the new puppy, of course, I would give the puppy anything that he wants. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, 877-2134-LOU. Before we get back to the phone calls, kind of a big day in the Smithwick family, and I want to just acknowledge that because after the show today, you are going with your family, and your daughter Sadie is having her first communion today.
That's right, she is.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, a big day.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's here already, here we are.
Oh, my gosh. All those girls look like little brides when they're all together.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm getting her ready for a wedding.
Yeah, right. And it's beautiful. It's for those in the Catholic faith, it's a big deal. And God bless her. That's great. She is a lovely girl. And both of your daughters are. And But congratulations to Sadie on her first communion. That's great.
Thank
God bless.
You.
That's really cool. Hey, can I share one quick story about my first communion?
Sure.
I remember.
Were you wearing a white dress?
I was not. No, I wasn't allowed to.
You look like a groom because you were probably in a little suit.
When I was a kid, they told me, oh, I'm like, we can't have the hosts because we didn't get our communion yet. And they go, no, right. They're not blessed yet, so it's okay. And I go, do they taste better when they're blessed?
Man, if only. If only they did. I was always hoping for like Triscuits when I'd go up there.
Yeah, they're not the tastiest. I will give you that.
But the first one is really special.
They would up it a little bit if, you know, they're, but I think they're gluten free.
Friend that orders them off of Amazon and eats them as a snack.
Really?
What?
I don't think they're a snack.
It's probably like a light cardboard snack, right?
I mean, they gotta be like 5 cents.
I mean, with a little blue cheese, maybe. But I mean, just something to hold the blue cheese.
Yeah, it's a vehicle. Really? Nothing more.
I wonder how many calories they are.
I don't know.
Not many. It's like a low-cal snack. That's why she loves them.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Fun
fact. Interesting.
God bless her. Nice. Well, congratulations again. That's very nice.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Bob in St. Charles. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Say, I'll cut to the chase. Last fall, we had our concrete driveway replaced. So they took everything out, replaced it, put in new gravel and everything, and everything. So since in about February, we noticed that there are hairline cracks, and not in the kind of in the expansion areas or where they cut the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of traveling across the whole width of the driveway, and now we just noticed another one in another area that is in a walkway that leads to the walk-in part of the garage. And so I had the gentleman that did the work came out and said, well, he says, you kind of expect it to have cracks occasionally formed, especially with the cold we had this in February or January.
Oh, I'm losing you. Get right in that phone, my friend.
Okay.
There you go.
So he said in January and February. But anyway, so he said, we kind of expect some cracks. We may have to just V it out and patch it. So they used the fiber mesh
right.
in the concrete when they poured it. It was
right.
5 inches. St. Charles requires 5 inches minimum. But there was no rebar, no wire put in or anything like that. Well, I'm just kind of wondering what we should be doing absent, I guess, having to patch their concrete patch for the hairline.
So here's the thing. You know, concrete is one of those areas where, I don't know if I said this earlier today or to someone else, but, you know, three things in life. We're all going to pay taxes. Someday we're going to die. And if it's concrete, it's going to crack. I'm a fan of the fiber mesh. But what I will tell you is with the fiber mesh, what's been my experience is that you can get, it's almost like the fibers, to me it almost looks like over time it can dry out the, like that top cream coat. In other words, when they're finishing concrete, you know, it's called bringing the cream to the top so you don't see the aggregate. But then it seems like that dries it up a little bit. And it's really important when it goes in that the concrete is a little wetter and allowed to cure more slowly. Now, the sealer that you talked about, I guess before you have them come and V it out and patch it, which then you will see more than the hairline cracks, I'm assuming that...
Right.
If I'm standing at the end of the driveway, looking at the driveway, I don't really see the hairline cracks, but if I walk up to it, I really see it. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Have you heard me talk about a sealer from the Kenosha Connection, Lindsay's Kenosha Mafia, the Bone Dry Products?
Not that I recall, no.
Okay, so bonedryproducts.com is a silicate-based sealer, and this is very different than most concrete sealers because it penetrates the top 1 inch of the concrete and bonds it together. And so this has been used commercially. And like if you go to any retail store, you know, where they put flooring over the slabs, in the commercial application of this product, they give a lifetime warranty that nothing's going to come up through the concrete and damage the flooring on top of it. This is a version of that you can buy, and either have your contractor put it down, or quite frankly, you can as well. It's about $70 a gallon. I don't know how big your driveway is, but you know, you may need a couple of gallons. It's the best $70 a gallon you're going to buy, and I would start with that. If this works, it'll keep those hairline cracks from developing in other areas and probably slow down, if not stop, what you have now. If they V it out and patch it, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now, I'm sure.
Now, we can always go.
You don't see it unless you walk up on it.
Correct. So. Now, you can always go back and V it and patch it if this doesn't work, but it's definitely worth a try because it may work. BoneDryProducts.com is the website, BoneDryProducts.com. Some local stores carry it, but you're probably better off to go online and take a look at that as well. Thanks so much for the phone call. Bumping up against time here. When we come back, I mentioned that this weekend is Candy Days for Misericordia. It's a virtual event, and because they're not having people collecting, as you know, you can join me in supporting my favorite charity, Misericordia. We'll be filling my virtual candy jar for Misericordia's 35th annual Candy Days. The money raised will support Misericordia programs for over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. If you'd like to make a donation, visit wgnradio.com/candy. On that page, you'll see a link to donate. And thank you to Townstone Financial. Townstone will be making a matching donation of up to $2,500 to add to the efforts. You can make your donation at wgnradio.com/candy. That's wgnradio.com/candy. After the news, I'm going to be talking to Sister Rosemary Connolly and Lois Gates from Misericordia about how you can donate through them. But right now, it's time for news.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you listen with any regularity, you know that I'm constantly beating the drum happily for an organization called Misericordia. This weekend, traditionally, the last weekend in April, is the Candy Days, which is a very important fundraiser for Misericordia every year to make up the difference between the funding that they get to take care of the 600 adults and children with developmental disabilities and the money they need to run these programs. Well, obviously, with the pandemic, Candy Days is not occurring with people on the street corners, but it is happening virtually. Joining me, I am so proud to say joining me on the phone line is Sister Rosemary Connolly, who is the Executive Director of Misericordia, and Lois Gates, who's the Assistant Executive Director of Misericordia. Ladies, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou, and thank you for having us. Good morning, Lou. Thank you.
Sister, I could certainly tell the story, and I think that a lot of people in the Chicagoland area know Misericordia, but there are a lot of people that don't. And it's a long story because of the good work that you and all of the staff and volunteers have done for so many years. But could you describe Misericordia perhaps to someone who may not know what you're all about?
Lou, it'd be very hard to really describe, but I'll try. But, you know, the best tool we have to tell our story is a tour of Misericordia. And right now, because of the virus, we can't do that. But when this is over, I invite everyone listening, if they really want to know Misericordia and feel Misericordia and know the children and adults who call Misericordia home and the wonderful staff for 600 residents, we have about 1,200 staff because it's a 24-hour, you know, facility, that a home that serves 600 children and adults. So the only reason we have been able to be so blessed is because of the fact that so many people believe in us and believe in us enough to get involved. Lou would be one of this example for this. Lou, many, many years now, and his entire family, including his beautiful wife, Mary Beth, have always been there for Misericordia. Whenever we ask them to do anything, they are there. They were always there for Candy Days, for the September Festival, for any reason. we needed them, they would be there. So there's so many people that we can claim as our own because they have me to be involved in something bigger than themselves and outside of themselves. And this certainly enriches their lives and is such a blessing to Misericordia. It's a beautiful home now for 600 children and adults. Our mission is to provide a quality life for every person in our care. Every person is unique. Every person is an individual. Every person not only has a right to life, but to one worth living, and that's what Misericordia is all about. We have 1,200 staff for 600 residents, but it's a 24-hour home, and it is a home. Our children and adults really do become very much members of our family. As so many other people who don't live with us, like Lou, has become members of our family. And the only reason that we're able to provide the quality life that every person is treated as an individual with their own unique needs and strengths and limitations that we have to really look at and study and see how we can help them cope and improve with those limitations.
Right.
But we are so blessed because so many people believe in us and us to get involved. And because of this, we're able to create a home, a real home, that every person is in, is a unique individual and deserves not only the right to life, but one worth living, and that's what we're all about.
Lois, one of the things that I have noticed and been in awe of with Misericordia is how it's constantly evolving. Certainly with the advancements in medicine, people, of course, with disabilities are living longer. And so the aged population in general needs more care. And that is something that Misericordia has addressed and is fulfilling that what Sister just said about fulfilling people's right to a life with dignity and love. And that's just one portion of it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, Lou. You know, ever since Sister Rosemary came on the scene in 1969 at Misericordia, she has really developed programs to meet the needs of the people that we were privileged to serve at that time. But because everyone ages, as well as our young people that were entrusted to her care in the early 70s, she started programs there. And for a long time, we never thought that we would ever care for adults or give them lifetime care, because whose lifetime would it be? But in 1976, we moved up to the north side and brought the Misericordia South children that she raised on the south side to Misericordia North so that they could live a more a home life. Because Misericordia South was beautiful, but it was a nursery atmosphere. They outgrew that. Sister decided, let's go up to Misericordia North in 1976, and she began developing programs there. And for a long time, we served them, but we realized they had different needs. They were aging. You know, that word that we're all afraid of, no matter how old we are as we age, is memory loss and Alzheimer's and dementia. And unfortunately, our children and adults are also, they also are suffering from dementia, right, Alzheimer's, memory loss. So we knew we had to meet their needs. So Sister developed the Quinlan Center. So the Quinlan Center is a beautiful, beautiful center for those of our residents that are aging out, if you will. But as Sister said, if you can have a tour, you would just be amazed.
Right.
It's not like any nursing home you've ever seen. It's beautiful. It smells beautiful. The people are dressed impeccably, and you can tell that they're well cared for, and the staff are just absolutely phenomenal in meeting the needs, not only of the aged, but at any level that they're privileged to serve. But we need help.
And that's why I wanted to talk with both of you today, because, you know, the fact is all of these programs takes money, and the state can only provide so much funding, and you're always at a deficit to raise money, and you have fundraisers throughout the year to fulfill that need when it comes to the finances. And it seems to always come through. I mean, people are generous, and people do recognize the good work that's there. So here's Candy Days that is now virtual. And so where, you know, normally I'd be, you know, shaking that can and passing out some jelly bellies on a corner with all the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that would be out this weekend doing that. Now we're in a virtual place right now. And I've been beating the drum about the virtual candy jar I have up at WGNradio.com. But there are ways that people listening could donate right now.
Absolutely, Lou. They can go to our website, which is www.missrecordia.com. They click on Candy Days. Let me say that again slow. Missrecordia.com. If they go to our website at missrecordia.com, click on the icon that says Candy Days, and you can't miss it. It pops right up. If I can do it, anyone can do it. So click on Candy Days, and then there will be a page that says, Will You Help? And on that page, there's a larger icon that says, click here to donate to Sister Rosemary's Candy Day pages. It is so simple. You click on that, and they tell you exactly what to do. Sister Rosemary's letter pops up, and she tells you all the exciting things that Ms. Recordia is doing and how she personally needs your help. And if you can, if any of the listeners can go to Sister Rosemary's page, this would be wonderful. You will really, really make a difference, and Sister will pray you to heaven.
That's worth the price of admission right there. Ladies.
Don't read the next. After you donate.
Lou, but may I say, and I would like to mention this, that Lois, who does not look like she's been around for 50 years, has been at Ms. Recordia for 50 years this year. It's also the 100th anniversary of Ms. Recordia. Lois has been here working diligently, working beautifully, and working at any area that is needed for 50 years.
Yeah.
So I just want to make notice that that's one reason Ms. Recordia has been so blessed, because the right people are always in the right place at the right time. Now, this isn't just within the walls of Ms. Recordia, but outside the walls of Ms. Recordia. And you certainly have been the right person in the right place at the right time. And all over all these years, I thank God for that gift, because it has made Ms. Recordia such a strong presence and a challenge for others who are interested in working with people with disabilities, because our whole philosophy is they not only have a right to life, but one worth living, and that's what we're all about.
Right. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. So misericordia.com, there you'll find the giving page to participate in Candy Days. You ladies are both super inspiring to me, and I'm always just in awe of the work that you do. I'm always in awe of the work of all the volunteers, all the staff members that are there every single day. I love what you're doing. I love what Misericordia is all about, and I'll always be there to promote it and tell people about it. So if you are listening and can give, go to Misericordia.com. You can also go to WGNradio.com and give to the virtual page. I'm thinking for the 100-year anniversary of Misericordia, like $100 is a nice round number, like an honor of. I'm just going to throw that out there for people listening.
Like the way that sounds, Lou.
We appreciate anything, Lou.
Of course. Sister Rosemary Connolly, Executive Director of Misericordia. Lois Gates, the Assistant Executive Director. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning. God bless to both of you and everyone at Misericordia. And let's raise a lot of money this weekend for Candy Days.
God bless you, Lou, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Lou. We are most grateful.
You got it. You got it, ladies. Absolutely. You're listening to House Smarts Radio, and we'll be back right after that. 877-2134-LOU is the phone number. Just a couple minutes left in our show, and then David Hochberg's coming up next with his show. But right now, let's talk with Tom, who's in Highland Park. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Lou. Question for you. Those chemical logs that you burn in your fireplace, I understand they're made from sawdust from the lumber mills. And I know those mills are cutting a lot of pine lumber. All my life I've been told never burn pine in your fireplace. Am I doing something wrong using those logs?
I mean, you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, those logs are they're a mix-up of a lot of different things, right? I mean, there's a binder. I would be less concerned about the pine as I am about the binder that pulls it all together. That being said, I don't know that. Well, let me ask you this. How many fires do you burn a year?
I enjoy my fireplace. I probably fire that thing up 8 times, 10 times a year.
And do you get the chimney cleaned on an annual basis?
Not on an annual basis, no.
All right. If you're doing 10 fires a year and you're exclusively burning those logs, at least...
No, I use them to start. I use them to start the hard work.
Yeah, yeah. Then at least every other year.
Okay.
Right? And then...
But you don't think that...
No. No. Okay. They have been around a long time. I get what you're saying about pine because it's a soft wood and there's a lot of, gook that can come out of it for sure. But, as long as the fire is burning hot enough, like if you enjoy your fireplace and you get that thing going and you use those logs to kind of get things going and then you're putting in, hardwoods and things like that inside there, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lou. Appreciate taking the call.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning, 877-213-4-LOU. Quick break, and we'll be right back. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thank you for your donations today to Misericordia, my virtual candy jar. It's still open at wgnradio.com/candy. Have a great weekend.